Galatians chapter 6. We are finishing up the book of Galatians today. I don't see any happy dances. Well, it's great to see you today. I'm glad you braved coming out and shared with the rest of the church family. And let's continue to encourage each other and pray for one another. As you know from my information that I sent, I originally from Idaho. My dad was a United States mail carrier and retired after 30 plus years of civil service. Over 20 of those years was on a country rural route, and most of that was over rough country roads. He had over 300 customers. Through rain, sleet, snow, or shine, the mail was always there. And Dad was one of those who tried to make sure that snow did not stop, nothing else would stop there in the country life of southwest Idaho. He traveled over 100 miles every day, and it was my job to fill up the car when he got home, clean it up, get it ready for the next day, back it into the little garage and push the back wall out, and a few other things. But it was a good life. In his early days, he used to drive Chevrolets and did that for several years, and then started having some issues with them. One day he was driving down the road and over one big bump, and he thought he heard a noise that was a little bit different from the common noise of going down the road. And all of a sudden, the engine quit on the car. And he's looking at the dash and trying to figure out what's going on. And all of a sudden, he notices the gas tank shows empty. What? And he just happened to glance in the rearview mirror, and he saw the reason. The gas tank was sitting out in the middle of the road. On the last bump, it bounced out and got knocked out of the car. So... needless to say, after several other issues, he decided to change from Chevrolet to Dodge and drove those the final several years on his mail route. Some of you are dedicated Ford patrons, Chevrolet patrons, maybe Toyota, Subaru, or some other company. My grandfather, on my mother's side, he was a Studebaker. Devoted fan, always had a Studebaker. But I doubt if we were to go out today to look for a vehicle that we would be looking for a Studebaker. Any of you looking for Studebakers today? No. Or how about a Nash? Or how about a Packard or a Hudson or a Pierce Arrow? You know, there have been a lot of cars through the ages that are no longer around. Today, if we were to go out and look for a vehicle, especially a new vehicle, we would probably want to be sure to find something with the latest technology, something that's going to last for a while, and make sure that it's going to last us and be economical and several other factors. We want the new creation that the engineers have come up with, something that has all the gadgets and latest technology that will last. We experience many challenges and hazards along life's way. Things get bumped and loose and knocked off in our lives. To make things worse, we have an enemy called who? Satan, the devil, who is doing all he can to destroy us, to discourage us, to cause us to go astray. He's sabotaging our journey constantly. Those of us who have heaven set as our final goal, we will not reach that goal in a run-down, sin-ridden, sickly body that we have right now. We have to have some changes. We must be sure to get on board with the right method, the right vehicle, in order to get to heaven. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but through Him. And this is the only way to heaven, in spite of the many other religious teachings and groups. And have you seen these bumper stickers that have all the symbols for all the different religions and says that let's just all get along? Well, we can get along, but the only way we're going to get to heaven is through only Jesus Christ. The means by which Jesus transports us to eternal heaven is by making us a new creation, the latest, the best, the eternal model. The question is, have we become all that God wants us to be? Have you become all that God wants you to be? Through Jesus, you can be all that God wants you to be. And so I've used some of the latest Facebook texting symbology here, trying to show that I am not an old codger totally. Okay? Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. Jesus wants you to be all that God wants you to be. Let's read the final closing thoughts from Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia, starting at verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, and simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. So here we have the conclusion of this letter to the churches of Galatia. Would you join me in a word of prayer as we consider thinking these? Father, we thank you that through Jesus Christ we can and are made new, new creations by the power of Jesus Christ, the transforming power, working from within our hearts into our lives. And we thank you that you have promised us an eternity beyond this world in a perfect home that you are preparing for us. We thank you that we can gather today. We do pray your blessing upon each one who is here. Father, help us to encourage others around us to pursue you. We pray for those who listen or watch later on video, on the electronics. We pray that every time your word is proclaimed that it will bear fruit. Help us to spread this message of life and hope in Jesus to all those around us, that many will benefit from Jesus, our Savior, the Savior of the world. Be with us as we consider these verses now. Help us to excel still more in your will, in your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Got my pet frog with me today. For some reason, I'm not working with this thing very good today. There we go. Maybe. It'll last a second or two. It's way out there. Okay. Getting back to the scriptures. Verse 11 seems to be a strange verse out of context. Did you notice that? See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. For a long time I thought, well, that's just the Apostle Paul who has bad eyesight and he's not a very good letter writer, evidently, kind of like me, and uses big lettering, right? Well, J.B. Phillips, who made a translation of the New Testament, he looked at this verse and pondered the message that's there. And he came to the realization that he believes that Paul is trying to emphasize this last section. I know that in my notes here, whenever I have something important that I want to say, I put it in bold capital letters, larger letters, in order to bring it to my attention. And I just wonder if that's what the Apostle Paul was doing. You see what large letters I'm writing with my own hand? I want you to remember this. And that's the attitude that J.B. Phillips had when he was translating, that Paul was writing in bold, heavy print, heavy letters for the emphasis of the point that he was trying to make. This is urgent. This is of utmost importance. I'm about out of paper. I'm about ready to finish this letter. And you need to remember this. So let's pay attention to Paul's closing words to the churches of Galatia and to us. He says, watch out or beware of those who want to make a good show. Beware of those who want to make a good show. Here he's addressing the concern over Jews who were trying to convince the Gentiles that they needed to follow the Mosaic law. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. When I served the church down in Deming, New Mexico, years ago, we had a woman and her daughter come to the church and express their faith and belief, and I baptized them into Christ. But as time went along, she was showing up less and less, and in the conversation with her, I found out that she was taking lessons, Bible lessons, from somebody else too, which usually I don't have a problem with. But unfortunately, she was learning that she wasn't eating the right kind of food. She was eating certain meats that were not to be eaten, I learned. And that pretty soon she was dressing ways that were improper, which I never did notice. And then I found out that she wasn't worshiping on the right days, according to this other teacher. And she ended up driving 120 miles, 140 miles round trip between Las Cruces and Deming every Saturday in order to worship on the right day with the right people who were doing the right things according to what the teacher was teaching. And in time, I lost contact with her and her daughter. Paul says, watch out for those who want to make a good show. Those who are trying to add you to their quiver of arrows that they can shoot out into the air and say, see? See what convert I have made out of this person? Because the Apostle Paul has spent a significant portion of his letter to the Christians describing and reasoning with those as to what really pleases God. And he repeatedly warns against trying to live as a rule keeper, trying to keep all of the Mosaic law, which was given to the nation of who? Israel. God gave the law to the nation of Israel. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, Paul has already stated, you have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. Now that's a pretty worrisome statement, isn't it? To fall from God's grace? To be severed from Christ? When we try to do what? When we try to keep the law. But unfortunately, there are people who still today, here we are 2,000 years later, still trying to teach you have to live by the Mosaic law, all of the law. Well, that's impossible to do. Number one, there's no temple in Jerusalem anymore. There's no altar to go to sacrifice on, which was a definitely everyday procedure required in Mosaic law. A study of the book of Romans and Hebrews also informs us that our salvation comes not from keeping the Old Testament laws and rules, but it comes through the person, Jesus Christ. Mosaic law is God's perfect law, which reveals the many ways in which we, as imperfect people, can sin against the perfect God. Now, we should pursue and learn from the laws of Old Testament. I'm not saying we should totally neglect them. We don't throw them out with a baby in the bathwater type of scenario. But if we are trying to live by the law for our salvation, and we've missed the point of Scripture, the law points out the need for a Savior, a Redeemer, and that Redeemer and Savior has come. He's Jesus. Thus, we need to focus on that promised Redeemer of the Old Testament. God told us He is our Creator. He is the one who made us. And He wants us to have salvation. If people could keep all of the rules that God gave in the Mosaic Law, then Jesus came needlessly and He died needlessly at Calvary. But He came because He was absolutely needed. We desperately needed a Redeemer, somebody who could carry us across the line. Because we can't do it on our own. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 is one of my favorite little short verses. Maybe because it's a few words, I don't know. All have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. And this was not a new concept or new principle that Paul presented to believers. This is stated over and over again in the Old Testament. Even as Moses was giving the law to the nation of Israel, he said, "You will not be able to keep it." But here it is. You will turn your backs on God. But here is God's law. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, we have these words. "We have all gone astray." Not some of us have gone astray. We have all gone astray, like sheep, each following his own way. But the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. Isaiah is referred to as the messianic prophet because he's not the only one. But so many of the writings of the book of Isaiah reveal that there is a Savior coming, a Messiah, somebody to look forward to, and He is the one who's going to bear the guilt of everybody because we can't do it. We can't live perfectly for God. And the only way to have time with God is to live perfectly. We fail when we're little. And from there, it's a downward plunge the rest of our lives. No matter how much we love God, we still find ourselves sinning. Romans chapter 7 and 8. Paul talks about that. In verse 13 of our text here, Galatians chapter 6, Paul warns us, those who are teaching you to keep the Old Testament law can't even keep it themselves. They're using or trying to use you as bragging rights. Trying to make you live the way they can't live. And is that going to work? No. Because all of us have sin in our lives. In this passage, Christians with a Jewish background were trying to convince the Gentile converts to practice the rules that God had only commanded for the family of Abraham, a reference to the circumcision. God gave that to the family of Abraham to start with, and then God restated it within the law to the family of Jacob, or what we call the nation of Israel. What guidelines are we to follow as a Christian? I have a tie. I almost wore it today. that has the Ten Commandments on it. I thought, well, no, that's kind of counterproductive on what I'm trying to say today. We do follow those principles. But it's not because we're trying to keep the rules. It's because we love God and we love people. And that's what Jesus was bringing across. Love God and love people. Pay attention to what God's Spirit is telling you. Pay attention to the examples that we have throughout Scripture. But live through Jesus Christ for God with the love that God gives to us. John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." You will keep my commandments. Jesus restated it 2-3 more times in the book of John. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Be all that Jesus wants you to be. Not what some other person wants you to be, but be all that Jesus wants you to be. Physical circumcision, that's not required. Paul is stating here. Keeping all the Mosaic law, that's not required. Good thing, because I ate pork chops last night and it was sure good. Pork is off the list if you're trying to follow the law, along with fried chicken and a few other goodies that we quite often partake in. Second point, Christianity requires a different lifestyle. Jesus practiced a lifestyle different from the traditions of all the Jews. The Lord reminded his contemporaries that God did not intend the law to be used as a merit point system where keeping certain rules gave you a better rating than others. Jesus spoke to this early in his ministry in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, towards the end, the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus warns us, saying, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name?' Then I will declare to them solemnly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers.'" Now, when you stop and look at that list, prophesying in the name of Jesus, in the name of God, telling people about God, isn't that something we're supposed to be doing? Healing people? Practicing miracles? Where does that power come from? Mighty deeds? Driving out demons? And yet the Lord would say, "I never knew you." Somehow those issues can fall into the category of merit point system, just going through routines. So we've got to guard against that. Jesus taught Israel that they were not in better standing with God due to their extensive rules and regulations, but actually they were in worse condition. First of all, they disobeyed God's rule of adding to his law. They had added on more and more and more and more laws that they were supposed to be following when they couldn't keep the first 613 to begin with. Second of all, they were not able to bear all those rules, the original law. Jesus and his disciples were frequently challenged about their lifestyle. They're not living up to the rules of the day. Consider some examples from Luke chapter 6. Two examples here. While Jesus and the disciples were walking along on a Sabbath day, which is what day of the week? It's Saturday. They were faithful Jews walking through a grain field. Do you remember what was happening? The disciples were taking some of those ripe heads of grain, getting rid of the chaff, and having a little snack on the way, which was within the God's law. But the Pharisees were watching and saying, "Oh, no, no, you're doing work on the Sabbath." Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is God's rest for man." Then the next story in the chapter, on another Sabbath, they were sitting in the synagogue, and Jesus presented a question to the leaders of the synagogue. He said, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil? To save a life rather than to destroy it?" They refused to answer, because sitting there within the crowd, a pre-planned trap, was a man with a withered hand, his right hand, the important hand in that culture, and he couldn't use it. And Jesus healed that man's hand to set him free from embarrassment, corruption, sin, so that he could provide for himself, so that he could live. And the leaders said, "We got to kill Jesus. We got to get rid of him because he broke the Sabbath." The law required lepers to stay away from the general public. It required the sick, the infirm, to stay away from the public. And frequently we read where Jesus not only healed them, but he would touch them. And he would heal the unclean, the sick, the infirm, the leper. And yet the Lord never did become unclean. I haven't thought through that one totally, but that is amazing. That story is Luke 5, verse 12 and 13. Christ displayed a different lifestyle, being all that God wanted him to be. Not what people wanted him to be, but what God the Father wanted him to be. What he came to be, the Savior, the Redeemer, the perfect one who would pay for the sin of all humanity. And Jesus fulfilled it, being all that God wanted him to be. He loved God, and he loved all humanity. Our final thought from this chapter is, to please God, you must become a total new creation. A total new creation. Verse 14 through 16, let's refresh our memories on those words. "But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule," he's referring to the new creation, being a new creation, "peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." To please God, we must become that new creation. Paul has been urging every person in the church to walk in Christ's path, led by the Holy Spirit, displaying his fruit. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, Paul gave us that list of the fruit of the Spirit. fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Fruit of the Spirit is patience, kindness, goodness. It is faithfulness and gentleness. Self-control. I wasn't out of control, was I? Hopefully not. Remember those words. Let the Spirit of God live in you, through you, with His fruit. Not fruits, but fruit. The entire package. All God wants you to be. A willing servant of God. There was a new church that was starting in the Chicago area with just a few people attending, maybe kind of like today. And with so few people, every person was important and needed in that congregation. And so the preacher just happened to have a junior high age son who was learning to play the piano. And he was the only one that could play the piano. And it was a Sunday night service and they needed a piano player. So the preacher turned to his son and said, "Son, would you play the piano for us while we sing some hymns out of the hymn book?" A hymn book is a thing you haven't looked at for a while here. They do exist still. They're in the back rooms, okay? So they pick out a song that the boy could play, and so they made it through the first verse, and the preacher, he said, "Let's sing verse 2. And the little boy at the piano froze, and he said, "Dad, I can't play the second verse." And his dad turned and said, "It's okay. You play the same thing again." Right? Now, in some of our songs, you notice that the verses are a little bit different as they go through the newer songs. But in the general hymn book, the song repeats the same tune over and over and over again with different words. And they made it through the song. Christians, we are not called to live in Jesus constantly changing rules every day. Jesus doesn't give us a new set of rules for the next day, the next verse. They are the same principles day after day, unchanging, faithfully true, led by the Spirit of God, living by the fruit of the Spirit, with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Loving God, loving people. It's not changing. There's not some new mail that we're waiting for to open up an envelope and find out, well, what's the secret message for today? It's still the same principles, day after day, hearing Jesus' teachings and applying them to the day. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Grow and excel, but the rules are still the same. Christians are not called to make up new rules and regulations. We live by the teachings of Jesus day after day. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 through 29. We ran over that passage, but Paul reminded the believers that they were clothed with Christ at their immersion, becoming one in Christ and the heirs of God's eternal promises. I just throw the question out to you. Have you been clothed in Christ? If you have not been immersed into Christ because of your faith in Him, you need to talk to one of us. If you believe Jesus is Lord, Master, Creator, Savior, but you haven't obeyed His commands, we need to talk. Similarly, Paul told the Christians at Rome, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 11, that this process of committing to Christ is to consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, this attitude does not come just because we wish it upon ourselves, or because of our own ingenious creation, our own making. It only occurs with those who are faithful and obedient to Jesus Christ and obeying His commands. Christ Jesus wants us to be clothed him, dead to sin, raised in his new life to live forever. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 8, and just to refresh your memories on those words that Paul gave to the believers of Rome and to us today, Romans 6, verses 3 through 8. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Jesus makes this possible. Jesus transforms us. Jesus reclothes us. Jesus takes away our sin and buries it, and we no longer have the sin in our lives. It's not our making. It's not our doing. It's because of what Jesus does. Then going on in Romans chapter 12, the very first verse, Jesus wants us to, in the words of Paul, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. God helps us to make the right decisions, to be those new people, that new creation that he wants us to be. Putting our love into action as we live in a world that is in chaos, in frustration, in need. We need to watch for those opportunities to, in the name of Jesus, in the name of God, help other people meeting those needs. Those dedicated to Christ will dedicate their time, energy, talent, and treasure to serving God with the right motivation, because we love God. We want to serve God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 and 25. Excuse me. That frog is getting awful anxious. Gonna get in the right book here, and I'll be better off. Galatians 5, verse 24 and 25. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. The Spirit of God is living in us, dwelling in us, helping us, motivating us, reminding us, prodding us, prompting us, poking us to get on the ball, to do things that God will be pleased with. And we need to pay attention to the urging of the Spirit of God. We must cease our search to satisfy our own wants and begin pursuing the things that would please our Father. And those surrendered to Christ know their only hope is where? In Jesus. He's the one that paid the price for us, and he is the one who will get us across the line down the road. Even though our gas tank has fallen off, he is the one that will get us to our goal. Jesus wants us to serve him. To do that, we must become his new creation. Not our own creation, but his new creation, fully, completely, growing and growing. So let's be all that God wants you to be, that God wants me to be. Every one of us has a different road, a different path of circle of influence, but it's all through Jesus Christ that we will honor God and serve God. Loving God, loving people will motivate us to want to know more about God, know about his word. We look back at the pattern of the law. We look at the lives of those who've lived before us, especially scripture, and learn from their example, learn out about the frailties. This morning we were talking about Elijah and how he did marvelous things for God, but then when he was threatened by one woman, he lost his confidence. He had weakness. Abraham had his weaknesses. David had his weaknesses. Everybody had their weaknesses except for Jesus. Jesus has led the way for us. He's blazed a path for us so that we can go to heaven. We are God's new creation through the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Unite yourself with Jesus. Let your spirit follow the leading of God's Spirit living within you. And God will make you all He wants you to be. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your kindness, your blessing upon us. We thank you for this letter to the Galatians and to us to remind us of all that you have done for us, about your love for us, about the pathway that you've laid before us, about your help through the Spirit. And we thank you for the many other passages of Scripture, your whole Bible that we can learn from. Let us be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Let us be thankful in all things, praying to you, having open communication with you constantly, living for you, letting your Spirit lead us and guide us until Christ comes again, that your name would always be honored and glorified. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.